Well, Merry Christmas. I'm loud. Well, Christmas is such an amazing celebration of Jesus, and I loved this morning as we worshiped to sing of his light and his entrance into the world, but then also of the cross, because his birth is what began all of that, right? And God knew he had the plan. He knew how it would end, but it had to start with a baby who lived to become a man and live a perfect life, face the things that he faced, and in order to be the sacrifice that he was. And so at Christmas, we celebrate that, the birth of Christ, the birth of the Savior, and the fact that earth was invaded, was visited by the manifest physical presence of God. And it was never the same after that moment. And we know that God exists outside of time, right? Humans were limited by time, but God isn't. He exists in the past and in the future and in the present. And somehow our minds can't even understand that, but he exists outside of time. And yet there was a moment when Jesus was born. And even in that choice to be born, God subjected himself to the limitation of time. And that's still alive to him. That day when Jesus was born, when the announcement was made to the shepherds in the sky, God is present in that time still, but Jesus was born in a moment. You know, they write down the time when your baby's born. There was a time where Jesus was born, a moment in time, and it changed all of time, that moment. And we celebrate that. And today, as I've been praying into this service, I felt like the word that the Lord was speaking was, he is the light. That we celebrate Jesus being the light of the world, and that there was a light that had existed, but it was turned on in a new way that moment when Jesus was born. If he had a birth certificate, that time that was written down, there was a light that came into the world in a new way. It had existed, but it was turned on in a new way, and that changed us today. It changed the scope of humanity, the potential of humanity. And so I want to look at that, Jesus being the light of the world. And the first time that Jesus was referred to as a light once he was born was actually when he was just days old, when Mary and Joseph took him to the temple for his circumcision and the ceremony of naming him. Simeon was there, that reverent, older gentleman that had been waiting for this promise. He'd gotten a promise from God that he would not die until he saw the Savior of Israel. And somehow, we don't know how, but the Holy Spirit highlighted Mary and Joseph, or perhaps it was just the baby, as they came in that day. Infants were being brought in. How long had Simeon waited? We don't know, but the Holy Spirit highlighted Jesus in some way. And Simeon went over to Mary and Joseph holding Jesus, and he began to prophesy over him. And in that prophecy, in Luke 2:32, he says this, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And so Jesus, that was the first time that he was referred to once he was born as a light. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. The Old Testament had prophesied about Jesus being a light. Isaiah 9:2, Isaiah says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Matthew, in his gospel, refers to this in verse 16 of chapter 4. And makes that connection between Jesus being the one who fulfills this prophecy. Another passage, Isaiah 60:1-3, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Another of the prophecies of Jesus, and the fact that he would come and it wouldn't be just for Israel, but it would be for all the nations, that kings would be drawn to the light of Jesus. And then, of course, the main one this morning that is Jesus, his own words, recorded in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And isn't that amazing? He who walks with him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. They won't just not be in darkness, they'll have life. And Jesus was always calling people to himself. He said to the disciples, come, follow me. To some, he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, right? It's a journey with him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One of Jesus's names, Emmanuel, means God with us. Jesus demanded this response, and the response was to come alongside of him, to be with him. Jesus is one who accompanies us. And so our walk with God is that. It is walking with him. It is journeying with him. He's alongside of us. And so I want to think about that this morning in terms of light. He's the light of the world. He's the light of your world. And you partner with his light as you walk with him. His light equips you. What does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? Let's think about the first part first, that he is the light. Light isn't just not darkness. You know, we need to really think about what light is. Light has a source. Genesis 1:3, there was just darkness and the presence of God hovering over the darkness. And then God spoke. He spoke words in Genesis 1:3, let there be light. And there was light. So there was this, God spoke and created light. And it was a force that changed the darkness. And then we see that also in Genesis, that the light marked the days and the seasons. God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from night. Let them be signs to indicate seasons and days and years. Let them serve as lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God said that it was good. So light has a source and it marks time. It gives definition to days and to seasons. Light is a force. It's a power. It's an energy. Darkness is the absence of light, not the other way around. It's important what comes first, right? So there was darkness over the earth, and then God spoke light. But light isn't just the absence of darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And light is more powerful than the darkness. Think of those, when you stay in a hotel and they have those blackout curtains, you can shut the curtains and it's so dark in the room. But if you just have a slit, the light comes in so powerfully. And the more you open it, the light comes in. The darkness doesn't creep in on the light, right? It's the light that takes away the darkness. And it's true spiritually too. Right? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. The light, the power of God associated with light is greater than the power of the enemy. Light illuminates things. It brings clarity, right? There's things that can be hidden in the dark. Physically in the darkness, things can be hidden. And when a light is turned on, it brings clarity. It brings things out of hiding. Light illuminates. Darkness is erased by light and it's permanent. And until the light source is removed, light will have power over darkness. And we know that in the natural, but do we consider the ramifications of that fully in our lives? Another thing about light is that it creates contrast. It creates shadows. You know, there can't be a shadow without a source of light. Light behind something will create a shadow. And I think that's important to point out because there's a contrast. When light is present, sometimes the darkness seems darker and the light seems brighter. At night, when you've been asleep and your room is dark and you wake up, for me, it's because there's someone standing at the side of my bed staring at me.
They don't say anything. I'm trying to teach Jesse, just say something or touch me or something. But I just wake up to this general awareness that someone's present. So, and then you open your eyes and then you go in the bathroom, you turn a light on it. It seems so, so bright, right? Because your eyes have become adjusted to darkness. And it's like that in the spirit too. Light will create a great contrast between light and dark. And the light will seem brighter and the darkness will seem darker. And our eyes can be, we can become acclimated to one or the other. Another thing about light is that it attracts. Light attracts insects. But animals and people are attracted to light as well. Not just in the natural, but in the spiritual. But even in the natural, light is necessary. It attracts because it's necessary for light. I mean, for life and for growth. We need light. Jesus said, remember that in John 8:12, where Jesus said, he is the light. He said, they will never walk in darkness. They will have the light of life. He's the source of life. And light, we know, is used to symbolize truth and holiness, purity and innocence. And it's contrasted with the darkness, which is associated with evil and death, with sin. And so Jesus said, he's the light. He is all of these things. He is clarity. He is the one who makes a contrast between what is true and what is false. He is the one who attracts us. He is truth. He gives us the source of life. He has energy and power. He's a force. And Jesus said, he's the light of the world. What does it mean that he is the light of the world? He didn't say he's light in the world or on the world. He said he's the light of the world. Jesus is invested in the world. John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost. Jesus loves the world. He's invested in this place. He's not just shining on the earth from heaven. He didn't remain in heaven and send a light, but stay afar off, a distance away. He came and was resident with us and stayed with us. Jesus said he came that we would have life and life abundant. And he participated in that life with us. He walked with the disciples. In John 12:46, it says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. His light changes the scope of our life, of our walk forward. He didn't want to be distant. He came close. And accessing that light requires faith, requires belief. Everyone that who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Jesus is available, and it's our faith that accesses this light. In John 11, verse 9, Jesus tells the disciples, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks around in the daytime, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But anyone who walks around at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And so here we have that contrast between light and dark, that when you have light, you can see where you're going. And the things that are hindrances are not, the obstacles don't hinder you, but you can have victory over them. But in the darkness, they can trip you up and they can make you fall. There's this contrast of life with light and without it. And Jesus says, he's equipping us with light so that we don't have to walk in darkness. And oftentimes I chose that picture because lots of times we want the light of God to be like a beacon. You know, we want it to be a light switch over the whole scope of our life, the landscape of our life, so we could see miles ahead of us. And often what it means that Jesus is the light is it's like a lamp, right? It says, and the psalmist says, his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And sometimes like a lamp, your walk is illuminated as you take the steps, as you walk, as opposed to, you know, a beacon of light that would zoom out for miles and years ahead so you'd know the whole plan, as opposed to just knowing the next place to put your foot. He's the light of our path, but it changes how we walk because we're not hindered by the obstacles in front of us. John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Is Jesus still in the world? He's in you. He's in me. And that's where the Holy Spirit was his lasting investment. See, he wanted his disciples to take advantage of him while he was there. And he spoke to them about that. He's not always going. Another passage talks of where you won't have the light with you. He was saying, my physical presence while I'm walking here with you. And then he gave them the Holy Spirit and said that he was the comforter. He was the equipper. He would remind them of all that Jesus had said, all that he had done. But while they had Jesus, he wanted them to take note. It's different now. But the Holy Spirit was this lasting investment placed in us, and it changed us. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus says to the disciples and those gathered around him, you are the light of the world. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. And so Jesus, after earlier saying, I am the light of the world, then he turns to the disciples later and he says, you are the light of the world. And as a light, you would not try to hide yourself, but you would be displayed. Why? So that the light can shine, so that others see it, so that it gives honor to your Father in heaven. He says to the disciples now that they are the light of the world, and their light is evidence of the source. It's evidence of him. The light shining from the disciples, from us, points to God and to Jesus. Similarly, Paul writes to the Ephesians to be imitators of God, like beloved children. And he warns them of being deceived by the teachers, by teachings of others in the world. And this is right before Ephesians 5:8, where he says, you were formerly in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And so again, there's this contrast. The light that Jesus is in us creates a contrast with the darkness. And that light is bright and it's more powerful than the darkness, but the darkness exists. And Paul is saying, be imitators of God like children, because you once were in darkness, but you've been brought into light. And so now live as that. Shine your light. There's been a transformation that has happened and is still going on. You know, Jesus wasn't just the light of the world when he was born. He was the light of the world for all time after that, right? The whole time where Jesus walked the earth and then the Holy Spirit, he still is the light of the world. But just like the church in Ephesus and just like us here, we were formerly in darkness. There wasn't just a moment. We're continuing to be transformed more and more by his light, right? We're still in his light. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It wasn't just that moment. Although there was a moment that changed things. Jesus's birth, your recognition of Jesus as Savior changed the scope of your life. But you're continually transformed by his light. I'll do one last scripture, Philippians 2:15. Paul's talking about this transformation that has occurred and is progressing. And he talks about what's pleasing to God and to not partake. He's instructing them not to partake in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And he says, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without blemish, though you live in a crooked and perverse society in which you shine as lights in the world. So there again, that contrast, the light that we carry of Jesus is a contrast to the world. And as we pursue Jesus and the things of God and choose to walk in light instead of darkness, we're a witness in the world of his light. And it's powerful. And so I want us to just take a few minutes to reflect on a couple of questions. It's good to know these things. We know these things. None of this is new information to you. But is it real? And how will Jesus make it real to you this Christmas, this year? Because he wasn't just light when he was born decades ago. He's still entering the world as light now. And he's the light of your world. And he's light through you. And so I want you to think about, this is something to reflect on in the days and weeks to come, but right now, even just to think of a couple of ways, how or where is Jesus the light in your life? How is it real to you? Not just in your mind, but how have you experienced him being light? Have you experienced that where he's next to you like a lamp and you know where your next footfall is? Where has he brought you clarity or understanding? For some, it's your conversion. And depending on what your story is, some people don't have this amazing transformation from being in the darkness into light. What about recently? How has Jesus shown himself to be light in your life? And then, where do you need more of God's light? Remember, Jesus, it was his choice. He's invested in the world. He wants to light up your world. He said he came so that you wouldn't have to walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so if there's places in your life where you need more light, let's ask for it. Individually or together, if you need someone to partner with you, say, I need to hear God on this. Ask someone, ask me. Is there an area in your life where you need more light? You can ask the Holy Spirit for a strategy. How do I have access to more of your light in this area of my life? And then listen for what he says. Sometimes it's to read scripture, to pray about it. Sometimes it's to praise. One time recently, I was praying, continuing to pray over something I couldn't get an answer from God on. And then I asked the Holy Spirit, what am I doing wrong? And he said, I just felt like this sense of like, you're asking too many questions, like just enjoy me. And so I just started praising. And it was this just a decided choice to say, I'm going to spend time praising God as prayer for this dilemma. And not even pray about it. Not even name it. Just there's that concern. And now I'm going to praise you. And you know, I got the answer. But it wasn't questions. It wasn't, and that's always so, that's like my thing, asking good questions. And so it was good for me, the Holy Spirit saying, ah, settle down. Sometimes we just need to hear a strategy and so we can just ask. How can I get more of your light in this area? Even that, there's faith in that, right? Believing that he wants, that there is more light for him to shine on that area of your life, that he will do it, that he's good. He's not going to give you something bad or something that would hurt you. He's going to open it up for you. And then I want us to listen right now and ask the Holy Spirit how, for each of you to ask how you are light in the world. Ask the Holy Spirit, how am I light in the world? You know, we're good at knowing that for each other, but what about hearing it for ourselves? The Holy Spirit's in you, and the world sees it. And he wants you to know how they see it. And so let's just take a moment. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to each one in the room. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is in us, that your light is inside of us. You invested yourself in us. And I pray that we would hear, each one of us, each son and daughter in the room, that we would hear, we would have a sense of one way that the world sees light in us because of you. You know, I think one of the keys to getting more breakthrough or more of God's blessing is becoming confident in what we have, confident in the strength that we have. So as you hear God share with you one way that he shines through you, what if you let yourself receive that as a compliment from Father God? And what if you let yourself become confident? Maybe you're someone who is generous with your time. You're someone who serves. You love people well with your time, with your hands, with serving. Maybe you're someone who's generous with finances. You love to give. And he complimented you about that. Maybe you're someone who can encourage others. Maybe you have wise words where what you say really matters to people and it helps them in their walk with God. Maybe you said you're funny, that you carry joy well, that you encourage people, that you dispense joy. Whatever it is, one of the ways that you shine light, that you're bright in the world, I think one of the keys for accessing more is allowing yourself to be confident and comfortable with your strengths. So often we advocate for our own weaknesses out of what? I don't know, concern for being proud. We're good at complimenting others, but when it comes to our own strength, we get nervous of that. And I think there's little battles that the enemy wins as we do that. As long as we're acknowledging that God is the source of our strength, we should be comfortable in our strength. And I think there's ways that we can access more as we're comfortable in our strength. And we feel the strength of one another. And often we affirm that in corporate settings, right? But if you're not willing to be strong in the areas where you are strong, where God's made you strong, then the corporate body suffers as well. We need to feel each other's strength. We know it. We see it. Let's increase in our comfortability with the places where we're strong. And I think we'll see greater breakthrough. If we acknowledge Jesus as the source, we can be comfortable in his affirmation, in his compliments. And so think of that. How are you a light in the world? And let his light shine. You know, that's true for us individually. It's also true for us corporately. Grace Fellowship is a light in Sonoma County, in Santa Rosa. And you're part of that light. And so there's individually, it's true that he's light, that we're light in the world, but also corporately, we're light in this world. And it matters. That's good for us to consider too. How does his light shine through us at Grace? What are we like? What would be missing if we weren't here? And God would want us to feel confident and comfortable hearing that from him, because it's true. And he wants us to be strong. And then lastly, how do you witness and benefit from the light of those around you? So some of how we experience Jesus as light in the world is because of the people around us that know and love God, that follow him, and that display his light for us. And I would just encourage you to this Christmas season to share some of those things with other people, to tell them how their light matters in your life. Sometimes that is a word that helps light the path. Sometimes it's someone bringing a scripture, a prophetic word, or a prayer. And sometimes it's an encouragement or a blessing in some way, the blessing of time or service or finances. How are people displaying his light in your life? So I'm gonna close in prayer, and then we're going to sing a song together. I'll have you guys stand and just play a song. But let me close this in prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for your choice to come to the earth and to live and to be light here among us. And Jesus, we're mindful of the Holy Spirit, this investment of your light in your people. Thank you that you're resident within us, that you shine through us to the world. We pray that you would make us more brilliant. Lights that more accurately display and show off your glory in the earth. I pray that we would continue to be encouragers of one another, and also that we would receive encouragement from you. Thank you that you're the light of the world, that you came and invested yourself, and then that you have caused us to be the carriers of your light. May we shine brightly and be encouraged in you today. Amen.
Of the earth are shaking. There is no power that can match his grace. Lift up your head, lift up your eyes to see. All of creation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing.
He is a light for all the world to see.